Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on a very hot Tuesday in Tucson for June 3rd, 2014. Can you really tell much difference, Rose, after it gets over? No, you can't. After it's over about 105 to 110, pretty much feels the same. But we're going to be certainly pushing toward 110, which is, as Rose just pointed out to me, is really horrible. Well, yeah, we'll get through it. Hopefully the rains will come in a month or so. We'll get things rolling with a conversation with a Republican candidate who is challenging Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn in the upcoming Republican Arizona primary. 30 minutes past the hour. Excuse me, 20 minutes past the hour. It's our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley has, I guess, what you could call a flat smile on his face, which reflects kind of the way the Dow Jones Industrial Average is doing today. Then, 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly Your Meds segment with Dr. Ray Woosley, former dean of the UA College of Medicine. We'll close out the show. It's a good day to talk with the UA climate scientist Greg Garfin about how the future years will be even warmer than they are now in Tucson. Buckmaster Show Live Line 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now Mark Brnovich, a Republican candidate for Arizona Attorney General. Mark, how are you today?
I am doing great, Bill. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I agree with you. It is starting to get to that point in the summer where it's way too hot.
And where you are in Phoenix, it's probably a little hotter, right?
Yeah, you know, it's so close to Tucson, though, as far as temperature. You know, it's the old, you know, once you reach a certain temperature, it doesn't matter whether it's 2 or 3 or even 4 degrees hotter. It's still stinking hot.
Mark, you're the former assistant U.S. attorney for Arizona. You prosecuted public integrity crimes. You're the former director of the Goldwater Institute Center for Constitutional Government. You worked for a while in the Arizona Attorney General's office. You're a former director of Arizona's Department of Gaming. Why did you decide to embark on this venture to in your goal, to beat Tom Horn and then go on to be Arizona AG?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. Ronald Reagan, in his farewell address, implored us, don't be afraid to see what you see. And as a former federal and state prosecutor, I didn't like what I was seeing coming out of the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General is the state's chief law enforcement official. He or she wields the sword of justice. He can take away people's livelihoods, their life, liberty, property. I mean, frankly, it's a solemn obligation. And we need to have people in positions of power that we trust to do the right thing, that can do it with integrity and character. And frankly, Tom Horn was failing that task. He has missed out on opportunities, and I'm not sure if it's because he's been distracted by his legal and ethical problems, but we need an attorney general that's fully engaged because the stakes are so high. An attorney general that's going to do everything he or she can to protect the most vulnerable among us, that makes sure that he or she is doing everything he can or she can to go aggressively pursue the cartels that are smuggling drugs and people into this country illegally. And finally, we need an attorney general that's going to be there to fight back against the overreach of the Obama administration. And as I said, you know, frankly, I think Tom Horn's missed opportunities, and I think he's been distracted by some legal and ethical problems. And at the end of the day, you know, you learn this probably your first week on the job as a prosecutor. When you wield that sword of justice, you will be held to a higher standard. Police officers, prosecutors are always held to a higher standard because they can affect people's livelihoods, their life, liberty, and property on a daily basis.
You know, the whole name recognition thing is intriguing to me. Yes, Tom Horn has been, he's all over the front page. Of course, he's on the front page again today of the Arizona Daily Star. But you wonder, people know the name Tom Horn, and you don't necessarily know exactly how all of this will resonate, all of his problems. How do you read that?
Well, you know, a couple things, Bill. One is recent polling that was done prior to the latest set of scandals shows that I'm out in front, that I'm leading him. And I think that's indicative of the fact that Republican primary voters want in a candidate they want to vote for, not someone they feel like they have to vote for. I mean, at the end of the day, Tom Horn used to be a liberal Democrat, and his base within the party was always very narrow to begin with. And with all the scandals going on, with Republican, not one, but two Republican county attorneys alleging that he broke the law, with employees that he hired alleging that he broke the law, the fact that he's been convicted of a hit and run while in office. I mean, at the end of the day, Republican primary voters know Tom Horn, and they know that they want an attorney general that works with law enforcement to enforce the law, not an attorney general that gets constantly is investigated for breaking the law. And that's a problem. I mean, at the end of the day, we want candidates that represent us, represent our values, represent Arizona values. And, you know, Tom Horn has failed to live up to that.
Has Tom Horn, one of the your issues on your website is defend against federal overreach. Has he been, in your opinion, Mark Brnovich, been too selective in what he decides to enforce?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, Bill. There have been things where Tom has done that I agree with and that I think he's done a good job. But at the end of the day, he has missed opportunities. So, for example, earlier this year when the U.S. Supreme Court this term ruled on the case Grease v. Galloway dealing with religious liberty, Arizona was one of the few states with a Republican attorney general that did not file an amicus brief on the merits. Why? Cities like Tombstone right now are fighting for their water supply against the overreach of the Bureau of Land Management and federal bureaucrats. Where's our state attorney general? I mean, I'd remind you and our listeners that, you know, Mark Twain once wrote that, you know, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. Water and property are so important out west. Water rights, property rights are so important out west here. Where is our attorney general? When it's come against the overreach of the Obama administration and the implementation of Obamacare, whether it's a letter that was mailed on August 14th of 2013 by 11 Republican attorney generals questioning the integrity and the privacy rights of their citizens with these navigators and all this information that the Obamacare folks are going to have access to, where's our state attorney general? He hasn't been involved in that. So he has missed out on a lot of opportunities. That doesn't mean that he's done some things right that I agree with. He has. But at the end of the day, he has missed opportunities. And I'm not sure if that's because he's been distracted by his legal and ethical problems. And at the end of the day, it's almost comical for Tom Horn to claim that there is some sort of liberal conspiracy against him because, he has missed opportunities and he cannot win the general election. I mean, the Democrats are licking their chops for an opportunity to face him because he's such a wounded candidate.
Tell me a little bit about, do you feel you are really the most conservative when it comes to stacking you up against Mr. Horn?
Well, I will tell you this, is that if you look at my background, and I would urge your listeners to go to mark4az.com, mark4az.com, look at my background, look at my experience. When I graduated from law school, I spent 6 years at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, including working in the Gang Repeat Offender Bureau. As you mentioned, I was an assistant state attorney general for 5 years. I've also been an assistant United States attorney prosecuting public integrity crimes. I am the only candidate, Republican or Democrat, including Mr. Horn, who has literally personally handled hundreds, if not thousands, of criminal cases. I'm the only candidate that's tried criminal cases in both the federal and the state system. But as you also mentioned, I've also been the director of the Goldwater Institute Center for Constitutional Government, where I wrote extensively about the importance of property rights and economic liberty. And if I can add, you know, folks could Google, there's an article that was written just about 2 months ago in National Review, and it's called A Yugoslavian Mother's Son. And if people want to know what makes me tick, they got to know about my background. And, you know, my mother had lived through, you know, the horrors of World War II as a young child, and lived through communism. And so when she came to the United States, she instilled in my sisters and I two overriding values. One, that the United States is the greatest country in the world. It is truly this beacon of liberty and freedom that folks look to all over the world. Second, though, is that any government that's big enough to give you everything is big enough to take it away, as Barry Goldwater used to say. And so we always have to worry about becoming too dependent on the government, especially the federal government. Now, as far as philosophy, I don't know what that makes me. I'm the only candidate that's been endorsed by the Arizona Right to Life. I've been a consistent, principled conservative. But I refer to these things as Arizona values. These aren't issues of right or left. To me, they're issues of right and wrong.
Do you know Tom Horn personally, Mark?
I've met him, but we don't socialize. And, you know, frankly, you know, he has a different idea of, you know, what constitutes, you know, what he does in his free time versus what I do. I mean, frankly, I've been faithfully and happily married to my wife for 17 years. We have two beautiful daughters, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners that have, you know, kids that are, you know, preteen or teenagers, you know, our kids are involved in a lot of sports. So, you know, my social life centers around my family and my church. And so, you know, I don't have a lot of time to go off, you know, having lunches at Pita Jungle with, you know, people that aren't related to me.
Mark Brnovich is with us. He is running against Tom Horn in the Republican primary. So you feel if you get by the primary, you feel you would do very well, better than Tom Horn against Felicia Rodelina?
Absolutely. I think that if you look at my background, you look at my experience, I am running to represent all the people of Arizona. We need an attorney general who is going to make sure that they're enforcing the law and not engaged in, you know, partisan politics or kind of elitist politics, and basically being the attorney general for Eric Holder. You know, you may recall Eric Holder had recently told state attorney generals that they don't have to follow laws that they don't like. And to me, that's abhorrent of everything I believe as a prosecutor. And, you know, if you look at the values that, once again, I think that are instilled in me, you know, the rule of law means that whether you like a law or not, you're supposed to enforce the law. If people don't like laws, then they can change the governor, they can change the legislature, they can change things through the initiative process, but you don't get to pick and choose which laws you want to follow or not. The other thing, Bill, is I have a background and a record, and I have the experience of protecting those that are most vulnerable in our society. And whether it was prosecuting gang cases or going after powerful officials that were corrupt and violated the law, I have that track record, and I will be there to protect those that can't protect themselves, whether they're the elderly, whether they're young children. And since day one, I've talked about the fact that, you know, and we've seen recent changes in CPS, but we as a state, we as a society need to be doing more to be proactive in protecting those that can't protect themselves. And, you know, related to that is one of the things that I'm talking a lot about out there is being aggressive and going after those that are engaged in sex trafficking. I will tell you, I have two daughters, and when you see some of these folks that are girls that are in shelters that have been brought into this country or in this country that have been sold into sexual slavery, it will absolutely break your heart. And you will say, why aren't we doing more to go after those people that are polluting our neighborhoods, polluting our communities by trafficking in drugs and human beings? We cannot tolerate that. And I think those are values that those are messages that will resonate throughout the campaign and throughout the general election.
Mark Brnovich, thank you very much. And that spelled your last name, Brnovich. And the website, Mark, the numeral 4az.com. Did I get that right?
You did, Bill. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bill, thank you so much.
Okay.
I can't do it without you guys' help. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello?
Hey, honey.
Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And the disclaimer says nothing about me making a recommendation. I recommend Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
The week is going well. It's hot. It shouldn't be this hot this early, but
no,
it
should not. But it is, and just like it is, or the old saying, it is what it is, and that's what applies today to Wall Street.
Well, and we're having about a flat day, a little bit down. We've got... It's a strange year, Bill. Normally you measure a year from the close of the last business day of the former year. Well, unfortunately, December 31st of 2013 was this spike one day kind of peak.
Yeah.
So measuring performance in the markets from that peak is a little bit misleading.
Year to date, right.
If you actually measure from the close of business on the 2nd of January, it's a little bit better. But we're looking at about 4% on the Nasdaq so far this year, 1% on the S&P and on the Dow. So we're having a relatively flat year, measured from the peak day of the prior session in December 31st. On balance, however, we're having a very nice, evenly kind of matched year where we're seeing that we're probably on the way to a 6-10% overall rise in the markets for the year. I continue to say that most of the economists and money managers that I rely on for advice believe there is going to be a burp, you know, somewhere, and we're going to see a correction between now and probably the end of the summer, maybe even sooner than that, and then we'll turn it around and kind of march toward the end of the year with mostly good news.
So this quarter, that we are fast approaching this 3-month period.
It's been a very good quarter.
It's been a good quarter.
Yeah, because we pulled back in January, beginning of February, and so the quarter has been very nice. We are at records for the Dow, records for most of the, actually for all of the indices, but those records are not, you know, we're not seeing the kind of performance we saw last year where, you know, we were on our way to 20%, 25%, and we're not going to see that this year.
When it comes to people's money, I think folks like to look for certainty. I don't know if there is such a thing, but there are things that are maybe close to certain, right?
Yeah, there are. There are some things that are, you know, as certain as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you take money and put it in a bank or a credit union, it is insured by the federal government. It's by agencies of the federal government up to a certain amount per account. That's pretty certain. Mm-hmm. It's also pretty weak from the perspective of what you're going to earn on that money. But it's fully liquid. You have access to it instantly because it's in a bank. So, you know, it's going to be guaranteed depending upon whether you're in a CD or you're in a money market account or some of the smaller products offered by the financial institutions. You're going to be in the neighborhood of about 1%. Now, that's not very good. And so I don't consider that an investment. That's a place to park money if, for whatever reason, you decide that parking money is a good idea. When I think about certainty, I think about products that are offered for the most part by insurance companies. So we should say up front, when I talk about certainty, it relies upon the ability of the insurance company to meet its obligations over the time period that the money might be invested. So one of the tried and true ways of investing money in a certain environment is to buy permanent life insurance, to buy life insurance, either whole life or universal life or variable universal life, that is going to have a minimum guarantee of what it will earn net of the cost of the insurance. Now, why would you do that? Because obviously those numbers are pretty low. They're, you know, 2.5-3%. Well, you do it as the conservative portion of your investment portfolio, because our portfolios need to be balanced. And so insurance can be the kind of conservative piece of your portfolio. It doesn't require that you buy it all at once, so you can do it over time. You know, if you're 20, 25 years old and you're healthy, then you can buy a relatively, you know, hefty piece of life insurance, pay for it over time, and know that every time you make a payment, a portion of those payments is going to go to at least a guaranteed growth rate, and perhaps more than that, but never less than that. That's what insurance companies do. In addition, some of the ways you can take money out of those insurance policies when you get older is very, very interesting from a tax perspective.
Hmm.
So you're earning that money tax-free. It gets paid to your beneficiaries if you die free of taxes. And if you borrow against it, so long as the policy doesn't lapse, the money that you've borrowed against your own policy, even though it's money that has come to you via growth, via interest or dividends, is that you don't pay taxes on that.
How about the trade-off?
Well, the trade-off is, number one, it's not liquid, and it's an obligation. It also is, if you're interested in investing and you see, you know, the stock market is 30%, you say, oh, my God, I'm pouring this money in every month, and I'm only making 2 or 2.5 or 3%. So that doesn't feel satisfying to people, especially when they know they can buy, for instance, a term policy for very much less. But at the end of the term, it's done. So it's not an invest. A term policy is never an investment opportunity. Whole life and universal life can be.
These are some of the things that you recommend folks talk with their
for the appropriate client.
Financial.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. The other thing I just wanted to mention is insurance companies also have products called annuities. Mm-hmm. They come in several flavors. We should talk about them next week because they do have guarantees.
All right. We will continue this conversation next Tuesday at 12:22 with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley, where can people find you?
BuckmasterShow.com, and they just, you know, click on the link to me, and they found me. I'm not hiding.
Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Now, Speaker Boehner says top members of Congress were briefed more than 2 years ago about the possibility of exchanging an American soldier held captive by the Taliban for five terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay. Even as President Obama warns that Russia could face further punishment over its actions in Ukraine, leaders of Britain, France, and Germany are preparing to meet with Russian President Putin at the end of the week. A social media expert, subject of a nationwide manhunt after authorities searched his San Francisco apartment, has been charged with one count of possessing illegal destructive devices. A judge letting the Justice Department continue intercepting information from 350,000 computers worldwide known to be infected with a data-stealing virus. More details at SRNnews.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they'd get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum.
Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
.12:35 on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our monthly segment, what we call Your Meds. It's all about your medication and really how to take control of your health care. Our Your Meds segment is hosted by Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former UA College of Medicine Dean and founder and now President Emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, commonly referred to as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest venture is the creation of Credible Meds. Credible Meds is one of the world's most trusted sources of medicine. The Credible Meds website, visited each day by thousands of people from 174 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be here.
We are always happy to have you with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If any of the Buckmaster Show listeners would like to join in on the conversation, always welcome. And today we're going to talk about what I find to be almost unbelievable, that more than 7% of American school kids are taking at least one medication for emotional or behavioral difficulties. This is a new report from the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics. Maybe I'm old school, Dr. Woosley, but that just seems really high to me.
Well, it's hard to say whether it's high or not. It's a concern. It's scary to think that we have that many people, children especially, who need to take medications because, as we've talked many times, these are foreign chemicals. They are not intended to be part of our body. It's something that we, our science, has generated to help us when we have problems. So the question is, do all these children really have a problem that needs to be treated?
Yeah, that's the fundamental question. Are they being overly... Are they being overly medicated without reason?
A lot of people say yes. A lot of people say no. We don't have good data on that. We know that the diagnosis of ADHD, for example, the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, what that says is that the children can't focus, and some of them are hyperactive, and they're a problem in the classroom. And a lot of people believe that when the child becomes a problem, they throw drugs at them instead of dealing with what the problem is, which sometimes are problems in the home that have nothing to do with the child's brain.
So what is this ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? Well, is it relatively new?
Well, it's newly recognized. It's not new. It's been around and been known for a long time. It was studied well and found that it is well understood. It's associated with certain genetic defects. We know that if you look at twin studies, it's carried amongst family members within the family. So it's real. You can see on a brain scan thinning of the part of the brain which controls behavior. And then as child grows up, most of them grow out of it, and that part of the brain develops. So there's the belief that it's just late development of the control part of your brain. There's a lot of theory that it may be caused by sugar.
That was my next question for you. Does sugar translate into hyperactivity for the children, and consequently do the kids then get ADHD?
A lot of parents will swear it does, but the science doesn't support it. When they do controlled studies, the parents and the children and the influence of sugar is just not there. The sweetener is the same thing. There's evidence that there are things in our environment, though, like lead, which do make a difference. So traumatic brain injury was thought to be a factor. It probably contributes somewhat, but it's not the driving force in most of the diagnosis. The challenge is to be sure of the diagnosis. And that means a pediatrician really needs to spend some time with the child, or a psychologist that works with carefully with a pediatrician. Make that diagnosis. And then if it's true, there's really only two treatments: medications, which are stimulants, which I want to come back to, and psychotherapy, which often takes a lot of time and money and isn't available for most people. Medicines are available, and the medicines that work in these children are stimulants. And that's the bizarre part of
this. That is, and of course, that's my next question. 790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to ask Dr. Woosley a question. So, the obvious question, how could a stimulant, why would you give a stimulant to a young person who's all hyped up, I mean, to calm them down, doesn't?
It does not make intuitive sense, but and I don't know how they ever discovered this. I wouldn't have even tried them. But I think based on the biochemistry of the brain that they had studied, they thought it should work. And when a child is hyperactive, these medicines actually calm them. Hmm. If you give these medicines to a normal child without hyperactivity, they actually become hyperactive.
Yeah.
So it's not at all intuitive, but it's well worked out. They don't have the side effects that other children would, and if you limit the dose, they don't have addiction. If you don't, if you do a careful physical examination and make sure the child doesn't have a heart problem, these medicines are very safe. Now, in children with heart problems, or if you're abusing the drug, as a lot of people do, these are drugs, they're speed. They're like amphetamines, they're like meth. They're been used for decades to keep truck drivers awake while they're driving. We used to use them when I was in college to cram for exams.
Wasn't there a product, something called No-Doze or something like that?
Well, that was a big caffeine product.
Oh, was it?
But
because I can recall something like that a million years ago when I was in school trying to stay up to cram for an exam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was, and now these drugs are scheduled like narcotics because they are very addictive.
Now, what about, we had a caller who did not want to go on the air, but Rose, thank you for putting it up. What about some of these problems with these prescriptions stunting the growth of a child?
Excellent question, because these do, these medicines do restrict or limit the appetite. They, children who take these often have lower weight. They do not evidently, the data would not support stunting growth, though. If they're eating a reasonable appetite, they will have a normal growth pattern. They'll just be a lighter weight. And most children grow out of this problem and can come off these meds, although 4 or 5% of adults are felt to have this disorder. Now, one important distinction is it's a mixed disorder. There are some children who have inability to concentrate and focus and hyperactive, but some don't have the hyperactivity. So inability to focus is the common feature in this disorder, and that's where the medicines help.
How about environmental factors?
Well, there I have mentioned lead. That's clearly thought to be one. Pregnancy, smoking and alcohol during pregnancy, that increases the association. It doesn't prove the cause, but those are factors that we suspect. We don't understand this disease. That's the bottom line. These are associations. They're not proof that that's the cause.
So it's so critical for parents who are listening and they feel if the child is hyper, that when they meet with their pediatrician, perhaps get a psychological workup as well in conjunction with a complete physical.
Exactly. And find out if it's something in the home that is causing this. A lot of children become, they get this diagnosis when their parents are going through separation or divorce, and it's not, it's a situation that's causing it, and it's temporary.
And how long typically would the children be on the medication? I mean, are they looking at a lifetime of this?
Probably not a lifetime for most of them, but months to years. Sometimes it's always important to be on the lowest possible dose, because even these children have some side effects. They can have some sleeplessness, weight loss that's more than you would like. So getting on the right low dose and then tapering it off, get the children, try to have drug holidays to get them to find out if they still need to have it again.
Well, we're out of time, and for Gloria, who was waiting, called in, I'm sorry we can't get to this question right now, something about medical forms and privacy. Perhaps we can get into that at a later topic with Dr. Woosley.
I'd love to talk about that. That's a serious issue.
It is.
HIPAA and privacy.
Oh, it certainly is. Dr. Ray Woosley, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Dr. Woosley is the creator of Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website visited each day by over 2,000 people from 174 countries. We urge you to check out CredibleMeds.org today.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
A recent climate report from the National Climate Assessment holds dire predictions for the Southwest, as temperatures could rise 9 degrees this century, cutting water supplies and boosting fire risk. Joining me in studio is Dr. Greg Garfin. Dr. Garfin is a University of Arizona climate scientist who was a lead author of the Southwest section of the federally backed assessment, which is the most extensive review to date of climate issues specific to the United States. It relied on 300 experts and a 60-member federal advisory committee and a panel of the National Academy of Sciences. Dr. Garfin, good to see you again.
It's great to be here, Bill. Great to be on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you very much. Is Southwest warming then a reality, Greg? And if so, by how much?
Yeah, absolutely. Across our region, temperatures have increased region-wide from the area stretching from Colorado and New Mexico across west to California by a degree and a half Fahrenheit, which is enough to make the mile-high city of Denver seem like the 4,700-foot-high city of Denver.
So it's really changing what used to be when you'd go up to a mile-high elevation. It feels more like if you almost drop 1,000 feet.
Not 1,000, but a few hundred feet, yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it isn't just the average temperature that affects us, it's the extremes.
Tell me, if the temperatures are heading higher, how high are we talking about?
Yeah, so we're talking, again, averaged across the region. By mid-century, we're talking, depending upon the amount of heat-trapping gases we put in the atmosphere, we're talking about anywhere between 3 and 5 degrees Fahrenheit, and by the end of the century, between 6 and 9 degrees Fahrenheit.
Tell our listeners, Greg Garfin, how you came, you and your scientists, colleagues, to these conclusions.
Yeah, well, as part of the National Climate Assessment, we reviewed tons of peer-reviewed published reports and also some special analyses that were done by the National Climatic Data Center, especially for the National Climate Assessment.
Did you go back? How many years did you look at then for coming up with these climate
averages? So we looked at multiple timescales. We looked at historic data back more than a century. We looked at paleoclimate records to get a really long look at things. And then we looked at climate models projecting about a century into the future.
When you looked at the paleo, we're talking, you know, old school, old time, a long time ago.
That's right.
Is there any kind of parallel that you see currently?
Well, the key thing here is that our region is prone to extended drought, and we see that very clearly in the records of tree rings and the reconstructions of stream flow. And the big concern here is that temperatures are increasing and that that is exacerbating the effects of drought.
Yeah, and from my interviews in the past with the people, Tom Swetnam, who heads up the UA Tree Ring Lab, he and others point to a really, really kind of mega drought that happened, I recall, maybe the 13th century.
The 1100s,
like.
Okay,
1100s. And we're talking big time here. This thing went on for 50 years.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I guess the worry is, could we be coming? I mean, we've been in a drought here in the Southwest for 10, 12 years, maybe even a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Are we into what could almost be considered a mega drought right now?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, again, the natural variability in climate in our region, which is dictated a lot by what goes on in the oceans and how that steers storms into our region or away from our region. You know, we've seen from the past that we can have these multi-decade kinds of droughts. And again, the temperature's going up. And the thing that the National Climate Assessment says is that those increasing temperatures have reduced snowpack and caused the early runoff of snow in our region. And that's a big concern for the reliability of water supply.
So the warmer temperatures, it just makes sense. You're going to have warmer, hotter temperatures. You're consequently going to have less moisture.
Well, you're going to have less. Certainly the most reliable, demonstrable effect that we've seen is on the snowpack. And, you know, the snow in our mountains, in the Colorado River Basin, it's something like 10% of the area in the mountains contributes something like 70 or 80% of the flow of the Colorado River. So that's those are our water towers, effectively.
And then we have the we talked about mega drought. We have mega wildfires.
That's correct. That was another conclusion of the Southwest chapter, that we have this kind of perverse, perfect storm of increased warming, drought, wildfires and insect outbreaks that have already affected communities and ecosystems, and climate and fire models project that there'll be even more extensive effects across our region.
Greg Garfin is with us. Dr. Garfin, the lead author of the Southwest section of the federally backed assessment, which is really the most extensive review to date of climate issues specific to the United States. There were a lot of experts who were involved in this, and Dr. Garfin, the critics often say it's a big conspiracy. I guess you would have to have a lot of people in on the conspiracy.
There is no conspiracy.
And for the critics, and I think we do have a call, we're going to go, are we a bit off topic? We might be a bit off topic, but I think we'll take the call anyway. Dr. Garfin, Vince would like to speak with you about volcanoes. Go ahead, Vince.
Well, I'll stay on topic, Bill. I just know that when we do have one, like we had last week, a Mount Pinatubo, even in a bigger at another time, a bigger volcano spews more stuff into the atmosphere in one day than the United States does in a long time. And I just wondered what how they factor in volcanoes. And also, I read the other day that we haven't warmed in Arizona in 17 years. And I saw a brutal winter back in the east. And I've heard the terms change from global warming to climate change to cover for this and for the doctor comment.
Okay, thank you, Vince.
Yeah, thanks for your question, Vince.
Volcanoes?
Yeah, so volcanoes, it's long been known that volcanoes put particulate into the atmosphere, dust and particles that temporarily reduce the temperature. They cool the atmosphere for anywhere from several months to a year or more. And, you know, those things are one of the natural factors affecting climate, as is the amount of energy that comes from the sun. But we know from multiple lines of evidence that were it due to natural factors alone, our climate globally would have cooled over the course of the last 50 years rather than heated up. So the major thing that has been driving that trend in global temperature has been the amount of heat-trapping gases, greenhouse gases, that we've put in the atmosphere.
And Vince wanted to know about why there was a name change from global warming to climate change.
Actually, we use those terms interchangeably. Global warming, I think for some people, it doesn't have a lot of relevance to think about the globe. They want to know about what's happening locally. Climate change covers a spectrum of things from natural changes in the climate to human-caused changes.
And for the critics who say carbon dioxide actually will benefit areas like the Midwest, places like Canada, increase the growing season, what do you say to that, Greg Garfin?
Yeah, so what the National Climate Assessment says, that there are some benefits from increased carbon dioxide, but that only benefits plants and vegetation up to a certain point, and then they can no longer use excess carbon dioxide efficiently. Their water use also becomes less efficient eventually. And carbon dioxide also benefits the bad guys, the invasive grasses and shrubs that affect our region and that increase fire risk in our region.
Dr. Greg Garfin of the University of Arizona, a climate specialist, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Great to be here. Thanks.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a cool getaway, it's about a mile high elevation over in Silver City, up to 7,000 feet. good place to escape the heat. So we can pretty much guarantee it's going to be about 15 degrees cooler up in Silver City. So if you're looking up for to get away, check out Little Toad Creek Inn or Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park. All of it is at southwestnewmexico.org for the great places to stay and things to do. Coming up tomorrow, it's Wake Up Tucson, and then For Tucson at 4, the new talk show at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Producer Rosemary Brandt and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. Have a good afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.